Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, and by the time you read her book or listen to her, I believe that you're going to get infected. Your faith is going to zoom. Your understanding of the power and the authority that God has given you, you may be facing an impossible situation. If you're not, blink your eyes a few times, and you will. Welcome to the human race. But we have a victory. My guest, Clarice and Ronnie Holden, I'm speaking to them by way of telephone at their home in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ronnie was on top of the world, if you will. He'd been a drug addict, an alcoholic, almost lost everything, had a visitation from Jesus, set completely free of drugs, completely free of alcohol, red hot for Jesus. His business, everything he touched was prospering. And then on May 8th, 2000, a drunk driver hit him. He got catapulted out of his car. His body was broken, but the worst part was what was going on internally. They didn't even know it, but peritonitis had set in. He had massive infections. His vital organs were literally rotting on the inside, and the doctors didn't even understand it. So they did an emergency operation, and they came back, and they told his wife, Clarice, he has 3 hours to live. She would not accept it. She did not know what to do. She prayed, and God showed her step by step what she had to do to save his life. And on yesterday's broadcast, Clarice, I said there had to be some points, because you're human, that it seemed hopeless. Tell me about the worst point.
Well, it was a morning, early, like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just kind of had fought so many fights that day. There were so many code blues, and after a while it just wore you down, because I never left the hospital, and it was the enemy just come at me so strongly and said, you have got to plan your husband's funeral. And I said, no, no, no. And I went in the restroom and I started beating on the walls so loud and screaming so loud till I got it down in my spirit that I had to fight. I said, if someone had heard me, they would have thought I was crazy. But you know what? I had to do that. I had to get it out of my system, because I was not going to accept what he was trying to speak, whispers into my ear that my husband was not going to make it, because I knew he would, and he did. I got victory that night, and I came out, and there was another battle, but I never, ever doubted again. And we, again, kept going through different things. The infectious disease doctors were called in, because he did have a major infection through his body. And the different doctors started asking me to pray. And they were telling me, they even had us praying for people in the intensive care, because they needed help. And it was such a time that our faith was built up, that we believed, we just knew that he was going to be fine. And here Ronnie is. We had him plugged up to healing scriptures. He's in a coma. But people, if your loved one's in a coma, speak faith. I spoke faith. I wouldn't let nobody come in there that did not believe the way that I believed. And I said, do not be crying and wringing your hands. He is a healed man. He is healed.
But there was a point, though, where you and your prayer partner, Sandy, were just literally exhausted, and you were standing in the hallway, and you started hearing someone singing. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, we actually started singing, Sid. We were singing, "He is the God that healeth thee." This was our scripture. We sung the word of God, the truth to him, and over it. I mean, there was something going on in there, and we knew it. It was Sandy and myself and my nephew. And there was this lady, and she was this cleaning lady. And she was, as we were singing, she was coming up and down the hallway just mopping and singing. And we were saying, "He is the God that healeth thee." And she says, "Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." It's what she'd say. And it was really strange because the elevator was right there. Well, the elevator would come up and open up and nobody come out. This is 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody would come out. And then it'd go down and it would come up and nobody would be coming out. It was an eerie time, but we just felt the presence of God. And that lady was such a precious lady. The next morning, I asked them, I said, "I just want to know that lady's name to thank her." I said, "When is she coming back on?" And I explained, I said, "Ma'am, there is nobody that works here like that." I said, "Yes, there is." And I explained it to them. And they said, "No, ma'am, there is not anybody here by that looks like that."
What type of feeling did you have when she was amening and she was there and the elevator was opening and closing by itself? What was going on in your spirit?
It was jumping. My spirit was jumping up and down because, you know, it's how your faith when it starts.
Are you telling me that was an angel?
Sid, I don't know if she was an angel or not, but I felt the presence of God and I have never been able to find this lady.
Now, your husband, from what I understand, from that moment on, started getting better.
He did.
Oh, you know what? Would you put Ronnie on right now? He's in a coma now for 21 days, and his wife and her prayer partner are praying for all that they're worth. But the doctors are saying he's starting to get better. But you were having your own experiences, Ronnie, with angels. Tell me about that.
Well, it's very strange. I never knew I had been in a wreck. I was unconscious, but I could see my room. And I remember I had this huge hospital room, and I had a picture window from the ceiling to the floor, and my bed was jacked up. I could see out the window overlooking the harbor. And I remember thinking, well, the last time I was at this hospital, they were 3 miles from the river. They must really have a lot of business. They've really built more on since I've been here. And I would lay there and watch the boats in the harbor, and these people were coming in the room. Mostly two, sometimes be three people would come in the room. And they just sat around and read the paper. They looked like ordinary people. They just sat with me. And I didn't know who they were. And one day I just heard this word spoken to me saying, "I've sent my angels to watch over you." And I remember feeling such relief. I just knew I was going to be okay. They were just like regular people. They saved me all day. And it seemed like they started leaving at night. And then they would come in and they'd take me down to the harbor. We'd leave the hospital at 5 o'clock. And they'd take me down to the dock. They had like a 100-foot schooner tied out there. And I grew up around boats. I love boats. And I just feel like something God sent to me to comfort me. And they took me on a schooner that night. I had this huge stateroom. It had teak and mahogany. It was just polished. It was just shine. And I look out the window and see the moonlight and see the water outside. And I hadn't had anything to eat or drink in like 30 days. And I reckon I was craving it even though I was unconscious. But they had bowls of fruit. And I remember the fruit tasted so good. It just run down my mouth, it felt like. I had the ice water there. And then I spent the night on the boat. And next morning, they would say, "We have to go back to the hospital." And we went back to the room. They stayed me in the room. And they were there constantly.
Now, you were in a situation. Would you put Clarice back on? Ronnie was in the situation where, remember, he was given 3 hours to live. And so he's in a coma for 21 days. Ever since that cleaning woman showed up, he started getting better. He's having visitations from angels. Now, Clarice, you didn't know all this was going on with the angels, did you?
No, I didn't.
So What happened at the end of the 21 days that he was in a coma?
Well, right before he came out of the coma, he got worse again. And that particular night, I just walked in there, and they were working on him again. And Sid, I just fell to my knees in the middle of that intensive care room, this big circle, and I tell you that I just cried out to God. And you know what? I did not care that there were a lot of people in there. And that's what makes the difference. God knew my heart. I didn't care. I was after one thing, getting my husband healed. And that time, Ronnie, he was kind of bad, and I went in, and I started talking to him, and I said, Ronnie, you have got to fight, because he was kind of failing again. It was kind of going downhill, and I was screaming at him. I says, I've done everything I can do. You have got to fight, and I want him to tell you what happened to him that night.
Okay, Ronnie, what happened that night?
One night, day or night, I didn't know when it was, the angels were in the room, and this big man came through the door. He looked like he's like 7 foot tall. He was dark skinned, looked Italian, had like an Armani suit on, really dressed. And I had a very uneasy feeling when he came in. I just felt uneasiness. He went up against the wall and just leaned against the wall and just looked at me. You know, and I heard him talk about the angel of death. And he stood there, and he started towards the bed, and the angels got up and stood between he and the bed where I was laying on, and started talking to him. And he glanced at me, and he finally went back out the door. I remember I had such relief when he left.
Our time is up now, but if you want the full story, read his book. He had another encounter with the angel of death. This is literally a manual for any desperate battle that you're in at this moment. The name of the book is called Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles. It's available for a donation of $16. Don't give up. Get this book and do it. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.